Okay, so what's our conversation today? What do we got?
Well, I was thinking, and we've talked about a lot of things to do for people, gifts and stuff and whatever, but kind of here and there, we alluded to our play styles and like what we look for when we play Magic.
Uh-huh.
And it's really what makes us enjoy the game.
Yeah.
It's a really broad topic, to be fair.
Yeah. Now, do you mean like what makes us enjoy the game as a whole, or do you mean in like a specific game of Magic? Like when we sit down to play Magic, what are we looking to achieve? Is that the question?
A bit, right? So what led me down this thought to this thing, the whole topic was originally the question I had was like, what kind of archetypes don't we like to play against?
Uh-huh.
And why is that? And I have a more of a philosophical question because everyone's, you had the whole team ban blue, right?
Yeah.
As irrational as that is for the game, but like blue's the easiest thing to hate. And then once people develop beyond that, then they start hating stacks and start hating other things.
Yeah.
But always that idea of like the rule zero conversation that usually doesn't actually happen. Uh-huh. But the whole idea of like, are you playing unfairly for the game and other people's enjoyment of the game, and what do you enjoy of the game, right? Because like I've been vocal, I don't like Super Friends, but I'll play against them. Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just the way it is. Like I get it, that's someone the deck, and I get enjoyment out of doing things with the deck, like playing my deck, right? That's a big thing people like to do. Mm-hmm. But then also overcoming the challenge that someone else might be putting out there, right? So like if you're playing against stacks, can you overcome that, you know, Ghostly Prism threshold and still get them with your creatures, right?
Yeah. When you're playing with a group of friends that you usually play with, the conversation changes. And it's interesting that we're talking about this because on Saturday, I did this, like, in fact, I mentioned to you in our chat about how my poor wife has been having to solo parent it because pretty much all of Saturday I was gone. I went and met with some friends who were out of town, and then I went to meet up with some friends that I used to play Magic with a lot. So it didn't make sense for me to drive all the way back to my house between the two events. So I had a little bit of time to kill. So I went to my local game store, and I ended up playing with some random folks. And it was interesting because, like, with the random folks, there was no discussion about, like, there was just power level. And I did have to laugh because when I sat down, I said, okay, what power level are we doing? And the guy that invited me over to play with them said, oh, I don't know, this deck's a 7. And he was being serious. He wasn't, like, and it was funny because he was saying it as I was saying, oh, is that deck a 7, as a joke. And he went, yeah, it's a 7. Oh, wow, okay. I said, well, I have no idea what the hell this is, but it'll be fun. But that was it. There was no discussion about it being, you know, whether it was stacks or you know, like hard control or any of that kind of stuff. And we ended up still having a good time. We had an enjoyable time. I find it interesting playing decks that I'm not familiar with because a lot of times there's a lot of, okay, hey, what's going on here? Where when I play with my buddies, I generally know how they play. So I almost can, like, even if they bring a new deck, 9 times out of 10, I know what they're going to do. You know what I mean? Like I know what the deck is going to do. For me, it's variety. For me, it's, I don't like being locked out of games constantly, but I don't mind it every now and again. You know, it's like, oh, okay, you're able to get your stack combo out, or you're able to lock me out, or, you know, like Ensnaring Bridge for an hour and a half, like it was the other night.
It's almost like you have PTSD from that.
Seriously.
I mean, it's interesting because I think something that's relatable for everybody else as well is you don't want to be playing in games where it usually happens more often with randos, but like you'll get unjustly targeted because they might be buddies with someone else at the table and they're just like going to pick on you to get you out of the game, where like threat assessment isn't really there. But to be fair, if I'm playing against someone that I don't know with a deck I don't know, how do I threat assess other than like, that might be scary?
Yeah.
It's like, oh no, don't worry about it. It's like, no, I think I might need to.
Yeah. The Commander Masters draft that I was in, where I was playing the Commander Ulamog, I just got wiped out of the game before I could do anything. Everybody just targeted me because they were like, if he gets Ulamog on the board, the game's over, he wins. So they just nailed me. Well, at the beginning of the before I started playing, they were talking about like threat assessment and, you know, what do you consider fair or unfair? Like if somebody plays a card and it gets, does everybody target and all that stuff? And they were talking about when that's okay. And they were saying, you know, and they all were generally, the general consensus was don't target anyone if you think they have the ultimate threat. You wait until the ultimate threat is either being cast or on the board before everybody should, you know, attack them, kind of thing. But yeah, like I kind of think the same way too. Like it's, you know, obviously if you see they're building up to something, there's, you know, there's no harm in pulling that down and everything. And I think that's part of the fun of the game is trying to establish or trying to figure out what your opponent's doing and seeing if you have the tools, like, were you smart enough or does, is your deck good enough to be able to dismantle something and do the thing you want to do? You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. Cause like, I think back to like a month or so ago, mm-hmm. when I actually went to a card shop and played a little bit of EDH, mm-hmm. In the one game, I was the only one at the table with any blue, mm-hmm. and they're looking to me for like all these answers. And I'm like, that's not the kind of blue deck I built. Like,
yeah.
You're going to have to figure this out. Like, I can't solve all of your problems.
Exactly. It was funny. The deck I was playing was an Arcades wall deck. It was casual. So we weren't playing, you know, Vegas rules or anything, but the one guy went to do something that was like, I can't even remember what it was, but it was something that was kind of negative for everybody, but it wouldn't lose anybody the game or anything. And I went to counterspell it. Cause I was like, I don't want that to happen. The guy getting counterspelled and the other guy, it was only a 3-person game, and the other guy, they both said, no, you want to save that because he, the guy that I wasn't counterspelling, has a card that if he casts, he wins the game. And I was like, oh, so you'll let me take this back? And they both were like, yeah. And I was like, all right, but now you know I have a counterspell.
Right.
And they were right. Like, well, now you know I have this card. And I was like, oh, okay. So I guess we're kind of even. I'll just leave up two blue.
You know? I mean, that's the thing I like about more casual games, though, too, where people mm-hmm. don't have to be so like uptight about it.
Yeah. Right?
Where yeah. you can actually be like, hey, by the way, you might want to think about that. Like, exactly. here's the thing that you don't know.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, you may have missed this, you know, which is, and I will say, when we were done playing, they wanted to play another game, but I actually had to get going. And so they were like, ah, okay, well then we'll probably break it up too. And they hadn't played much against each other. And the one guy was complimenting the other guy going, your threat assessment was amazing. Like, you have never played this deck before in your life, but you knew exactly what I was doing. And he was like, I've played a lot of Magic, you know, and it was kind of cool to see that interaction, you know, of just, you know, game recognizing game, you know, just like, this is these two guys. And that actually kind of goes back to our original thing. That's what I like in Magic. That's what I enjoy. And it's part of the reason why I wanted to start going to a local game store to get more of those experiences. Yes, there are bad experiences. Sometimes you will have complete douche nozzles all over your LGS, but at the same time, there can be these good interactions as well, which I always enjoy.
Right. And I think one of the things that a lot of what we've been talking about is definitely multiplayer interactions. Mm-hmm. Because like that's where more of this actual politics and conversation comes into play. Cause like what you and I do here, I mean, I could tell you like, oh, hey, you have like a 2-turn clock, or I'm going to next turn if you don't have lethal, which I'll give you a heads up.
Yeah.
But like, it's not like you can deflect me to somebody else.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. We always joke around with my one buddy because the game will essentially be over, but he won't want to give it up. And we're all like, dude, once you pass turn or even pass priority, game is over. Like there's nothing. So unless you can do something, and he won't have the thing, but he'll still be like, if I just have this card. And it's like, but you don't.
You know? The heart is not in the cards.
He's going to hear this. He's going to know exactly. I'm not going to say which one it is, but he's going to know exactly which one I'm talking about.
I mean, it's acknowledging what's up too. Cause like, we'll be like, okay, well, we'll at least draw. Is that anything worth anything? No. Okay. Done.
Yeah, exactly. Like, done. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, there's no reason to bluff your way through it too, with making the thing, oh, I got a counterspell or a board wipe waiting. And like, it's like, no, I'm out.
Yeah, exactly.
But I think one of the other big things I look for is people who are there to have like fun playing the game, not mm-hmm. just there to win. There's people who like won't even like say hi or anything when they sit down, not have any like small talk. Like, even thinking back to like back when I used to do FNM, you start getting used to some of the people there, but like it's still in general, it's like, hey, well, how's it going, you know, whatever, and you just talk about the decks, like while you're there to win, you're there more to have fun doing it.
Oh yeah.
There's a few decks I brought in, like, you know, you're not going to win.
Right? Yeah.
Oh, cause like when Worldfire dropped, I built a Worldfire deck.
Uh-huh.
And I went that night just trying to cast it.
Uh-huh.
Right. And mm-hmm. I only got to once because someone wanted to see it cast.
Uh-huh.
And they were playing like a really bad janky deck too. It's like that was to the power level that the deck I was playing was. Like it just wouldn't, it wasn't aggro enough, right?
Uh-huh.
But you know, it was fun. I got it off once and I used the like Axe Bane Guardian combo to get the mana to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But like think about other decks I've played, and the one here is a variation of one of those. This doesn't have the cards in it, but like for a very brief window, Exquisite Blood and Sanguine Bond was in standard.
Oh yeah.
Together.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And I built that deck. It never won me FNM. But you know, it's like, hey, we're gonna do this, and you know, using Crypt Ghast as acceleration, right?
Uh-huh.
That's kind of where I am. Like I'm there to have a good time and a fun time. Like
weird,
do something that's not expected, because as funny as it is, that's usually what throws off people who are expecting you to play meta.
Yeah.
It's the same thing like you've seen with like my EDH decks, where like they're not optimal,
mm-hmm.
but there I usually throw some random weird things in there, which are the cards you honestly probably hate to see when I play them, because they're like, oh, that's a not fun effect. That's what I go for, though. Like even to the same thing, like, you know, talking about that blue deck I was playing, it was the Cyber Controller deck, right?
Mm-hmm.
I have a lot of bounce spells in there to bounce my stuff, and I was having to use them on other people's things. I was like, let me do my thing. I'm tired of being the person at the table policing.
Yeah, yeah. So I went to FNM and I went to do draft, like I always do. I drafted like the Millennium Calendar from Ixalan, wheeled. And the Millennium Calendar is a really fun card. It is a fun card. It is not good for limited, not at all. But it's basically you play it and then it says every time you untap a permanent you control. Permanent doesn't say non-land, it says permanent. Every time you untap a permanent, put a time counter or something like that, or a lore counter or something like that on Millennium Calendar. And then it has the effect of where you can pay two and tap it and double the amount of time counters on the Millennium Calendar. And then at the end it says, and then the final ability is, if you have over 1,000 time counters on the Millennium Calendar, you can sacrifice it and your opponent loses 1,000 life. Okay. It's silly. It's just silly. And I was playing it just to play it. Well, I did get my one opponent, he didn't have any artifact destruction. He didn't have much artifact. He had a ton of creature destruction. He was taking care of my creatures. But he couldn't get rid of it. So I'd got it out on like turn, whatever, the first turn I get, I think turn two, I could play it. And so I was just running it and I almost won using it. I was that close. And I said, and then he broke the news to me when I was done. He was like, you realize there were two turns earlier on, just after you had played it, that if you had tapped it and doubled the counters, you would have had enough to kill me.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you missed it twice, but then you started catching it. So, and I was like, damn it. But it was a lot of fun. It was fun.
That's a bit crazy how that happens too. But yeah, it's fun, right? It's like those weird things. And that's what I like about like casual setting for playing, like being mm-hmm. able to have like friend groups and whatever. There used to be I don't even know what it's called. It's like a family center, activity center place
uh-huh.
I used to go to, that like they would host it on like Saturday mornings or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we used to play like big round table modern
oh, wow.
battle royale. Like you'd have like eight plus people just, and it's funny because like you have a few people there with good decks, right? Uh-huh. And they're taking care of anyone who's popping their head up like gopher whack-a-mole style.
Uh-huh.
It's like, no, you back down.
We're here to have fun.
But there wasn't a lot of like you win the game cards back then.
Mm-hmm.
To be fair, like that, those are really newer, right?
Because yeah.
like the bigger thing was like if someone got down like a platinum angel where they just couldn't lose,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
But there wasn't a lot of, oh no, I win, done.
Yeah.
That's where a lot of these like weird infinite combos can come into play, though. Like the one deck I have still from way back then is that Axe Bane
mm-hmm.
Defender deck with a Banefire in there, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Where it's like, okay, well, I'm going to pick this many targets. It's over five. You all lose 50 life.
Oh, right? Geez. This actually, I think this, to steal a word that the professor loves to use, the apotheosis of me as a Magic player is I want to build an ultra hug deck. And what I mean by that is I want it to have all of the mutually beneficial cards in it, like Howling Mine, Wedding Ring, like all of those kinds of cards. Okay. And it's just pack it full and have creatures and things to protect myself, but nothing like maybe I'll just pack it full of walls, but it has one win condition, and that is Test of Endurance, which is at the beginning of your upkeep, if you have 50 or more life, you win the game. And that's fairly easy to do in Commander, and it's actually, but it's not like super powerful in Commander because people just, the second it hits the board, it's the target, you know. But that's what I want to do. I want to build, and so, and I think that's what I enjoy, because I played a hug deck, oh geez, a couple months ago now, and I played, it was actually in a six-person Commander game, which I don't recommend. It was fun, but it took, like, we were on hour three when someone finally won. But one of the players was playing a hug deck. But it was the first time I'd ever played a hug deck, and I was like, I love this idea. I want to do that. So that's something else I enjoy in playing games, is, I guess, giving my opponents fun stuff, I guess, is the lesson from that.
It just makes me think of the, is it the Hildegriff? Is that what it's called?
Oh, yeah, Feldegriff.
Feldegriff, yeah. Oh, I have PTSD from playing against one of those decks. It's all hug, and then it just squeezes you to death.
Yeah, it's like hugging, dead. So yeah, so that's what I like to do is I think you and I if I may be so bold to say, you and I have a very similar want when we approach and sit down at a game of Magic, and that is we want everybody to have fun, as corny as that sounds. We approach it in different ways. You come to it by way of land destruction. I come to it by way of hug decks.
To be fair, I've only played one land destruction deck against you ever.
Fair. Okay. Fair.
But there's no video recording of that.
Yeah. There was. It has been destroyed. Along with all the land. And that about does it for today. You can find DM Dingo on Twitch or on the FDS Discord. You can find me, FDSMTG, here on YouTube, FDSMTG, as well as on Twitter, Threads, Blue Sky, FDSMTG, basically everywhere. Also on TikTok as well. Thank you so much for listening, and you all have a wonderful day.